It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, and we're going to continue the reading, and we're going to start with the 18th verse today, the 18th verse. And so Romans chapter 3, verse 18. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got a lot of good studies up there and got the plan of salvation, our constitution. Please take a look at that. If you'd like to email us, parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com or parkviewbible@gmail.com. Either one will work, and I look forward to hearing from you. Now let's begin the reading of the Scripture. Romans chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It is wonderful to read these scripture verses. Please listen so carefully. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this precious study. Just guide and lead us today through your precious word, if you will. Just step by step, dear Lord, please. We need your leadership. We need your help. We cannot do this without your guidance, because it is the personal relationship we have with your Son, the Lord Jesus, that allows us to come to you, dear Father, and be able to grow and listen and to possess the Holy Spirit in our hearts to teach us your precious word. Thank you, dear Father. Just guide and lead us now, please. Guide and lead us through your precious word, and just touch everyone, those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they will recognize they're lost, that their religion is not going to save them, and they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And so please, please, that they would come today. Speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always wonderful to look to the Word and to study it, and we have looked through many verses of Scripture in these past couple of weeks that we've been together. But as we look at these and take our time, we need to understand who we are. And that's what the past verses have talked about, that destruction and misery in their ways. We looked, and this has been a couple of times now, but I want you to really take a look at this back in verse 12. They are all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It all sums up to that last statement in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. When you stop fearing God, and maybe that's exactly where you're at today, if you don't fear God, if you don't have a great reverence and a great understanding of God, then you are exactly everything that's spoken of above. And we had several cross-references that we looked at. We looked at Psalms 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. We looked at Psalms 5, verse 9, Psalms 140, verse 3, Psalms 10, verse 7, Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8, and we looked at Psalms 36, 1. All those references, cross-references, we took a look at the last time we were together. And now as we continue, we need to understand that what Paul is saying here through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that is stop holding on to your religion. The Jews were doing that. They were, when it speaks of the law, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. That would be Israel. That would be the Jews. Now, it doesn't matter whether we're under the law or not under the law. We are still, as verse 23 told us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 12, back in that same chapter, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And then it goes through that the throat are open sepulchre, their tongues have used deceit, and it just goes on and on and on. The condition of the wicked heart without the Lord Jesus. So please today recognize that your religion will not save you. Israel, the Jews, are God's chosen people, and yet just being a member or a part of that religion, just being born a Jew, is not enough. You need to come by faith to Jesus. If you're born into a certain church and your family, your parents, your grandparents have always attended there, and that's your home church, I just have to ask you, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you come by faith to the Lord Jesus? Because, my friend, if you're just holding on to the tradition of your fathers, now, maybe what you're holding on to is wonderful because you have come by faith to Jesus. Your parents, maybe someone in your family, maybe your pastor has taken the time to show you these scripture verses or many others, and then came to that wonderful verse of scripture that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're going to get to that in the 10th chapter of Romans. But if you have not called upon Jesus today, and you have just followed the tradition of your fathers, you have been baptized, probably as an infant, and then you attended church, and then when you become 13 years old, then you went through instruction, some call it confirmation, and then at that time you joined the church at the end of that point, and then you stay faithful to that church, and you attend, you serve, you're on the church board, you do all these things. And the sad thing is that none of that has any value if you have neglected Jesus. It's not about a religion. It's about a personal relationship with the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. You need to invite Him into your heart. You need to get to know Him and serve Him and praise Him. And it's not about a certain denomination. You can come to this church and you can join this church and you can do everything that is said to be done and reject Jesus and be as lost and dead and going to hell as anybody else that's never attended church a day in their life. This church doesn't save you. The doctrine and the preaching that we have will, if you'll accept it and receive it. But if you can come in and you can say, oh yes, I'm saved, and you join the church, but you're not really saved, then joining this church is going to do nothing. I want you to be born again. I would love to have you come and study the Word of God with us, grow together, get to know Jesus in a better way. But you're not going to do that unless you come by faith to Jesus first and have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God. There is the problem with America today. There is a problem that we have today is because there is no fear of God. They are becoming, we've become a nation that doesn't believe there is a God and does not fear God in any way. And many religions that we have today do not fear God. They have their laws and you keep their laws, but there is no fear of God. You need to fear God. Now, I hope today that the Word of God that we're proclaiming will put the fear of God in you. And you will get down on your knees and say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and save me." Look at what it has to say here to these Jews. Verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now let's look at that. Let's take a look at that. These proofs. That's what Paul is saying here. We have so much proof that the law does not save. We have so much proof here that you can't ignore it. Paul is driving home the very fact that the law is a mouth stopper. And that's a good statement to make, because it says that every mouth may be stopped. All right, what's that telling you? That's saying just what we just discussed, and that is that stop claiming that your church or your religion is going to save you, because it will not. It will not. The only thing that's going to bring salvation into your heart is you come by faith to Jesus. And then you become a member of the church, the universal church, the church that Christ has set up. And that's God has built for us and given to us local bodies of believers. And that's what we are. We are a local body of believers. But it is not that you come in and keep our laws and the direction, the things that we proclaim. That's not going to save you. What's going to save you and change you is coming by faith to Jesus. You need to fall in love with Jesus. Call upon Him as your Savior. Realize that you're a wicked, lost sinner. Look at all those things. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. And then once again, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. That's Israel. If you're a Jew, then this is speaking straight to you, and please do not say that I'm a child of Abraham, and so I've got everything. As you cannot say that I'm a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or whatever, because that's not going to save you. And again, we'll put it right home. If you're a member of Parkview Bible Church and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're as lost and condemned and damned to hell as the person that, again, never has attended, curses God. It doesn't matter. You can sit in church with your fanciest dress or suit on, and you can go to hell just as fast as the person that's a drunk and never, ever calls the name of Jesus, only through words of cursing. Please, listen. Listen, it's all about knowing Jesus. Those that are under the law, Israel, he says, that law is going to do one thing. It's going to stop you in your tracks. That's what it does. It stops you in your tracks. It has no ability to open the heart and save you. It has no ability to do that. The law only condemns. The law's purpose is that you look at yourself. Well, why do you think that today, why we have such a mess with everything. The family is in such a mess today. And the reason that we have so much problems with drugs and alcohol and the homosexuality and everything that's going on today, the mess that everybody is in, is because they have ignored the law of God. They look at that law, and instead of realizing that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved so I can be more like Jesus, instead of that, what we do is we change the law. We look at the law differently, and we open the doors of our churches to all kinds of wickedness that God despises. But you see, you don't fear God. And if you don't fear God, and if you don't take that law and look at you, and when you look at that, it should put you to your knees. Because again, as the scripture says, it's a mouth stopper. It ought to stop you in your tracks when you look at that law and say, I can't keep that. There's no way I can keep that. I need a Savior. I need some way to save me because I can't do it. That's what it's supposed to do. It's not there to save you. The law never saved anyone, nor could it ever save anyone. That the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is perfect. There's nothing. Jesus didn't do away with the law. He completed the law. He lived a perfect life and came down here, and that makes him the perfect sacrifice, and you need to trust in him by faith. Not some church, not some religion, not some works that you're doing, but Jesus and Jesus alone. You're saved by grace, not by works. Saved by grace. Lost, hell-bound. And the law shows us that. The law shows us that. The law is a mouth stopper. The law cries out, the whole world is guilty before God. That's what it says. Exactly what this scripture verse is telling us in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. They are guilty, whether the law exists or not. You're guilty. It does. If you're not a Jew and you're a Gentile and you're not under the law because the law was given to Israel, it doesn't matter. You're still lost. You're still condemned to hell because of your sin. And the law does that. You look at the law. Look at the law of God and you'll realize that, oh my, there's no way I can do anything. You can just throw your hands up and quit, or you can call upon the Lord Jesus for your salvation. And that's what you need to do. You need to be born again. You need to trust in him. All are deserve hell. All are unrighteous. The scripture is very clear here. All are guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does the law do? You don't try to keep the law and say, okay, I hope I did well enough, and I'm going to go to heaven now. No. What you need to do, what you have to do, is you need to realize that the law does one thing. It shows you how guilty you are. That's its purpose. And then you come to Jesus, and then you begin to change. You don't stay the same. That's the problem today with accepting so much of the things of the world today in the church. They're saying, well, God loves them. God loves them so much, and he loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus to the cross. And Jesus was obedient to go to that cross, and he died on that cross for my sin. He died on that cross for your sin. I don't care what sin you're involved in. He died for that sin. He took all the sins away. And you need to come by faith to Jesus. and the sin that is damning today is the sin of unbelief. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are doomed. You're going to the lake of fire. Do you understand that? Do you realize that there's no works that's going to save you? You must come by faith to Jesus. The law proves that. The law shows you. But today, what so many churches have done, have accepted all these things that are against the law of God. And they say, well, God loves them. God loves the sinner, died for the sinner so that you can be saved, but he hates that sin, and he despises any church or any body of people. I'm not going to call you believers because you're not. If you've accepted that today, if you've accepted the ways of the world today and brought them right into your church and says, I know what Romans chapter 1 says about it, but God's a loving God. Yes, he is. But if you can be born again, you can be a murderer, you can be a thief, you can be a homosexual, you can be all those things. And the day you get saved is the day that you change. You turn from those wicked ways. Can you get saved doing that? Yes, you can. Years ago, I had a drunk, and he was a drunk. That's all he was a drunk. And he always said, whenever I stop drinking, I'll get saved. Well, he got stopped drinking. He stopped drinking one day. Praise the Lord for that. But the sad thing is that I said, oh, now call upon Jesus. Well, you don't have to stop drinking to call upon Jesus, because just because you stop one thing, you got 1,000 other things that are wrong. You need to come by faith to Jesus. You need to trust in him as your Savior. And when I ask him, would you come to Jesus now that you've quit drinking? And he just laughs and walks away, because you see, there was no fear of God. No fear of God. You see, that drinking, that alcoholism, that drunk, it didn't matter that he was a drunk. He could have called upon Jesus right then. But my friend, he wouldn't have stayed a drunk. He wouldn't have stayed a drunk. That's the difference. And today, all this is being accepted into the house of God, as they call it. And please understand, yes, God will save you that way, but you will not stay that way, because God doesn't like it. Now, we need to look at this and realize that the Word of God, the law, is going to stop us. All deserve hell. All are unrighteous. God did not destroy the law, as we've talked about. We are not under the law, but we're under grace today. If you come by faith to Jesus, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You see what happens? You see what happens the day you get saved? You are no longer is that sin having dominion over you. Now, when you're lost, and that's the reason that so many churches accept so much of these of this filth of the world into the church, but because they have stopped preaching the gospel. They do not tell people how to be saved, and people aren't getting saved and aren't changing their lives. And they will, because for the first time, sin has no dominion over you if you'll just be born again. If you continue in that sin, whatever it is, then that means that you do not possess the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit giving you strength and power, and that sin no longer has that grasp upon you. So please look to the Lord Jesus for his power and his strength. We cannot keep the commandments. Let's look at Romans. Look at what we've got coming. Look at the future of this study. I hope that you don't miss it. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Okay, so you see back in that sixth verse, verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The law does one thing. It shows you you're a sinner. You need salvation. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus to be saved. You need to do that. Once you've done that, then no longer does sin have dominion. Then you have a choice. You need to call upon him because you know that that sin is wrong and you need to walk with the Lord Jesus. And so please follow him. You are saved by grace. We cannot keep his commandments, as Romans 10 verse 4 says. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Do you understand that once you come by faith to Jesus, then you're under the blood of Jesus Christ? He has saved you. He shed his blood for you. And his perfect salvation, that shedding of blood, bought and paid for you. And now you have fulfilled the law because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. That's how you get saved. Trust in Jesus. Come by faith. Believe in him. And no longer then are you under the law, but you're under grace. But also being under grace, now we have the power to have victory over this sin. What a victory. We have some other verses here that I'd like to show you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What did we just talk about? What did we just talk about? You see, we don't make this up. This is what the Word of God tells us. And so if you'd go back to studying the Word, that's where the victory comes. John chapter 17, verse 4. John 17, 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What a prayer. That's an intercessory prayer prior to the crucifixion and just hours, literally hours, before the crucifixion. John chapter 19, verse 30. John 19, 30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now we know according to the scripture that yes, it's finished through his death, victory over sin, but we also have life because he has risen from the dead. Enjoy the great salvation that our God has given us. What a victory. What a victory. Back to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We just continue to go through this because I want you to see that there is nothing that can save you except the precious shed blood of Jesus and you believing that he is your Savior and he can bring you salvation. Judged by their own works, their own merit, whether it's Jew or Gentile, guilty. Guilty. The law never saved a man and the law will never save a man. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the end of verse 20 says. By the law shows us who we are. Can't save you. The regulations that you may put into place in your church, that if you do this, this, and this, then you'll be okay. No, no. The only way, and that is to come by faith to Jesus. Jesus took our place. Jesus is holy. When we are in Christ, we receive the holiness of Christ. Please trust in Jesus. We live in a dispensation of grace, a time period. This is of the time of grace. Now, before Jesus finished the work upon the cross, they had certain things they needed to do. They needed to do them by faith, bringing the sacrifices and the offerings and things like that. They were saved the same way, by faith. But they needed to bring the offering. It was an example, a picture of what was to come when Jesus would die on the cross of Calvary and save them. My dear friend, time goes so fast. I got to ask you, what are you going to do about Jesus?